Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of Astrid Ass. Today, I have a very special guest for me, at least. This is a personal one for me, along with the next one coming up, but I won't say who that is yet. I'll keep the hype going a little bit longer. But I just say that I have here Jackie from, well, I have to remember I'm on the opposite side. Jackie from the Lee POV. I'm going to say the draw, Jackie, is we have our nicknames going
Thank
on.
You.
We got to keep that going. So I can't take that off. But before I officially introduce you, I gotta say you were one of the people that I always thought about interviewing before this show was even started to begin with. I had you on my list. I wanted to know how your journey was like in wrestling media and podcasting. So you're definitely one of those people that I always wanted to learn more about. So I'm really excited to have you here. So we have Jackie. How are you today, Jackie?
I'm good. I have to say that that's a really nice privilege to be one of the first ones to be considered. And I think, you know, I talked with you briefly when you had originally asked me to be on the show that I was like, you know, it's a cool thing to be interviewed by another female podcaster, another Boricua, another Latina podcaster. You know, we got to do the representation. So, you know, it's yes, it's a privilege. So thank you for having me.
No, and I know I know a little bit about you because of your Twitter, but I figured we'll dive in a little bit more into that. And we had so many community questions that it was amazing to think about. It was hard to pick which ones to ask you, but obviously I picked some that I know you will enjoy answering. So we're going to get started with mine and then we'll head over to the community questions that I got from Twitter, which
sure.
is really exciting. I did wanted to ask you because I know you're a big fan, obviously. But how or when, maybe, when did you fall in love with FTR? Because I know you're a huge fan.
How could you tell? Like, not that I came here with a shirt or anything like that. So this is a good one, actually, because a lot of people will say that they became a fan of somebody when they see their in-ring work. But actually, I didn't become a fan of FTR until I saw an Instagram live that they did where they were promoting an auction that they were doing for the Black Lives Matter movement. They were doing a charity auction for that. And hearing them talk and, you know, talking about the cause that they were raising the money for and just getting to see who they were behind the scenes as people, that's kind of how I become a fan, like a bigger fan of anybody, really, is getting to see a glimpse behind the scenes of who they are as people, because to me, that is something that I support more strongly. When I see that they're actually like good people behind the scenes, I'm like, okay, that kind of motivates me. And once I got a glimpse of that, it was kind of like, all right, you know what, let me pay attention. Because to be completely honest, I had kind of fallen off with wrestling a little bit during their time when they really hit their stride in NXT and in WWE, like on the main roster. So I didn't get to really experience them until they hit AEW. So yeah, it started there. And then I kind of paid more attention to what they were doing in ring when they got to AEW. And yeah, the ball went rolling from there and it just never stopped.
That's really cool. I never thought about it being in a way like that, but it's interesting to see it from that point of view. And it made me think about, like, even for your love for FTR, because you got the opportunity to interview them not too long ago. So how did that come about? Or do you have anybody else that you want to interview after having them? Because I imagine the top of your bucket list is done out now. But do you have anybody that you're thinking about aside from them?
Yeah, that one kind of fell into my lap in a really interesting way, because I had just put out a tweet and I said one day that I was going to interview them and the world was going to rejoice, remember this tweet. And then Dax reached out to me and he was like, hey, yeah, we can make that happen. Just give me your email and we'll hook it up. And I'm like, if only everything else was that easy, because as I came to find out after the fact, because the first one was so easy, it seemed like after that, it's like, oh, wow, not everything else is going to fall into my lap quite that quickly. That experience was phenomenal. It was a great way to kick things off as a podcaster. I had only been in podcasting for not even 4 months when I landed that interview, and they were great. But as far as people that I would love to interview, top of the list, Thunder Rosa. That's like my holy grail right now. She's somebody that I greatly admire, especially again, for the representation factor of her being a strong Latina going out there and representing for the culture. And I would just love to be able to have a conversation with her, with everything that she's doing, not only in AEW, but what she's doing with Mission Pro Wrestling. Her Sunny Kiss is another one that I would love to have a conversation with. Again, you know, talking about LGBTQ representation in wrestling, and someone that I would love to see more on television, fingers crossed, we'll see. And then another random kind of one, but maybe it's a long shot, but if I ever got to interview Hangman Adam Page, that would be like, whew, that would just like blow my mind, because not only is he one of my favorite people to ever grace the AEW roster, but just, again, another person who behind the scenes really stands behind a lot of the same beliefs that I have, and just an incredible talent. I would just love to, you know, spend some time talking to him and really getting to pick his brain. So I know that's a long shot and it's dreaming big, but you know, you asked, so
go home. We love our anxious cowboy in this house too.
So, heck yeah.
Yeah. I know you probably, I don't know how many events have you gone to now that you speak more about AEW, but do you have any events or anything, like, aside from the interviews that we mentioned, but any events of like AEW that you would like to attend that you haven't gone to yet?
I've had the opportunity to go to, I've gone to a few Dynamites. I've gone to AEW Full Gear, the first one they had back in Baltimore in 2019. I went to AEW Grand Slam and Arthur Ashe. My hope and our plan is, given, you know, we don't even know where AEW All Out is going to be this year. We're like TikTok waiting on that announcement. The hope is that if it's going to be in Chicago, that is, you know, something that I would love to attend. You know, I would love to, you know, one year be able to attend every AEW pay-per-view that they do, just kind of like bounce around from event to event. But yeah, right now that's kind of like where I'm at. I'm a Jersey girl, so Queens is, you know, a 45-minute drive. Yeah, right. With traffic, it's like an hour and a half. But when they come back to Arthur Ashe for Grand Slam this year, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be there. But yeah, I mean, I would love to go to more AEW pay-per-views for sure.
Yeah, I haven't been able to go to any event from them yet, but I'm hoping in the future I can, because that's definitely on my list of to go at least one pay-per-view and one Dynamite, one Rampage at least. So
yeah,
it'll grow from there most likely.
You definitely owe it to yourself if you have the opportunity to go, because it's, you know, watching on TV and on pay-per-view is one thing, but to be in the live atmosphere, it's a whole different animal. And the fans are just like, they really create that atmosphere. So it definitely, if you get a chance, go.
I did want to shift gears a little bit when it came to the topic. I wanted to pick your brain about this because, like I mentioned, even off air, we're both doing podcasting, but we will have different journeys, but it's nice to see that we're both doing the same thing. So I know you've been part of the Daily POV. So for those people that haven't seen it, what is the show about? What is it like? And how did you get started with the Elite POV?
Yeah, our little signature DMD POV thing. So Elite POV, we always say our goal is to be a podcast for fans by fans. We're not trying to break news. We're not trying to be insiders or anything. We're just trying to give the fan perspective of, you know, what we enjoy. We like to speculate on where we think storylines are going, what we like, what we think could be done differently about shows. But it's been a blast. And so how I got involved actually was back in September of 2021, I was asked to be a guest by two of my co-hosts, Phil Cataldo and Anthony DiStefano, for the AEW All Out Prediction Show. I had never done a podcast in my life. I was scared to death, but I had always wanted to do podcasting, but I never knew how to get my foot in the door. And they said, well, if you want to try it, like, you know, this is an opportunity for you to sit in and just kind of, you know, see what it's like. And I thought it was going to be a one and done situation, sat in, gave my predictions, had fun with it. And then that was it. And once we got off the air, apparently they both said to each other, like, hey, do you want to talk after the show? And they're like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And they both apparently said, like, that felt really great. There's a chemistry there. We think Jax is really good. You know, what do you think about asking her to be a full-time third chair at the time on the show? And since they both apparently had the same idea at the same time, they then approached me and said, like, you know, would you like to do this full-time? And I'm like, oh my God, like, yeah, I really would. But then I second guessed myself to like the last second. We were going to announce it formally the day of All Out. And I'm like, I don't think I can do it. I'm really nervous. Can I? Like, am I capable? And then finally, I'm like, you know what? I've been wanting to do this. Where else am I going to get the opportunity? So I finally just said, you know what? Let me go for it and say yes. And haven't looked back since. And it's been the most fun and rewarding thing. I've gotten opportunities that I obviously would never have had, like the FTR interview. And yeah, I've like I said, it's been the most enjoyable experience. So had I not taken the chance and just said yes and quieted the little voices of self-doubt in my head, I wouldn't be where I'm at now.
Yeah, that's very true. But how has it been your experience being the female voice in your show? Because just like you, I'm basically the female full-time here in Love Wrestling. So I want to know what it's like for you being the only female in Elite POV as well.
It's interesting. I always say, like, and this is probably going to date me a little bit. I don't know if anybody's going to get this reference, but I call it the Smurfette syndrome, where it's like you are literally the only female in the entire panel. So the great thing is that they never treat me any different. Like, I have three, because like when it started, it was two other guys, and now adding Kyle Masters to the fold, there's three other guys. They've never treated me like anything other than one of the team, not one of the guys, just one of the team. So I've never felt any pressure any way from them. They've been incredibly supportive. So that part of it is great. There is an additional pressure, and maybe you can echo the sentiment here. Being a woman in this type of media, you know, I feel that you have to be twice as knowledgeable as your male counterparts to get half the respect from your audience. Because if you even trip up remotely, suddenly it's you don't know what you're talking about. You don't respect the product, you know, and I think that that's something that a lot of women in wrestling media have to deal with. Now, I'm obviously not anywhere near on as large of a scale as, you know, some other women in wrestling media. But the fact remains is that, you know, you feel a different sort of pressure to be better, to excel. Sometimes there's even the pressure of feeling like you have to look a certain way, that you have to present yourself a certain way, act a certain way, in order to be taken as credible. And like I said, thankfully, I have a very supportive, you know, team. Our audience has been incredibly supportive and uplifting. But I am aware that there is an additional pressure as a woman that I'm like, I have to over deliver at times in order to be seen on the same level as my male counterparts. So that's something that I'm acutely aware of, and it might be an additional pressure that I put on myself as well. But
you're totally right. I feel like sometimes we have to tell or show people with the way we express ourselves that we're not watching because we think the guys are hot. We're watching because we love the product, we love the storylines, and we love the talent. But it's not because of their looks. It's about because of, you know, you get that chemistry between them, or you get an attachment towards them and their characters. So you kind of have to show them that you like it more than that. And it's not just like, oh, I'm here to watch because so-and-so is hot and I enjoy watching them like this. You know, you have to kind of prove yourself that you're not doing it because of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is definitely, that is something that has come up even, you know, in the context of the show. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't find anybody attractive. Obviously, that's a known thing. That's a natural thing. But sometimes I've had to like bat that down a little bit, like where I'm like, no, don't talk about that because I feel like I can't feed into that because I don't want that to be the focus, because if the minute that becomes the focus, suddenly that's all it's about. And it takes away all of your credibility. Whereas I feel like for your male counterparts, they have a little bit more flexibility to kind of get away with that kind of thing and not have that be questioned for them.
Yeah. And now that you brought it up, I think it would be a good time to say, like, if you could, let's say, speak up about anything when it comes to women's wrestling, is there anything you'd like to speak about that you would like to see change in women's wrestling?
A lot. especially, like, you know, obviously my main focal point is All Elite Wrestling right now. That's the main product that I watch. So that would probably be, like, you know, when I'm talking about women's wrestling, it'll be mainly in that context. One of my chief complaints week after week is that we only see pretty much one women's match per night. And in the context of a 2-hour show, come on, like, you have a pretty loaded women's roster at this point, and it's only continuing to grow, and you have two women's titles. Now they have done significantly better than they have in the beginning in terms of pushing multiple women's storylines simultaneously. But if you'll notice, there's a formula that happens, and every women's segment happens somewhere between 9:20 and 9:40 at night. It's just like, it's like clockwork. You can, like, just time it out and they'll all be smashed together. You'll get one women's match and then maybe two or three women's segments backstage or something like that. And it feels very rushed at times. I'm not going to say that there hasn't been improvement, but it can come a much longer way. And I think one of the things that I've always stressed is that sometimes you have to feed the fans the notion that something is important in order for them to respect something as important. When you show them, hey, this storyline right here is extremely significant, so we're going to portray this as something that you need to be paying attention to, suddenly the fans are going to say, like, oh, maybe I should be really paying attention to this. Maybe I should be invested in this. And you kind of have to plant those seeds for them. If you always treat it as an afterthought, the fans are going to always receive it as an afterthought. So I think the more time and effort that you invest into really building up the division, you know, put a woman's match in hour one. Open the night with a woman's match. Put Thunder Rosa in the opening segment, you know, as your women's champion. You know, something along those lines. There are just little things and changes that can be made to the overall flow of the show that can really make it feel like, okay, the women's division is a major part. There have been improvements, but like I said, I think there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. You said everything that I've been saying for months now, and I'm just like, every time I do the show on Wasis, I'm like, come on, TK, you can do better than this. I don't mind what you've been doing, but there could be more improvements done. So definitely, I agree with you on that. Yeah. But now that you talk about it, because you mentioned that you love FTR, but I don't know, like, before FTR, did you have anybody that, or any wrestler that inspired you to get into wrestling, though?
Oh my gosh. Like, I've been watching wrestling now since, like, 1999. So I was, like, in the height of the Attitude Era in WWF at the time. And my wrestling experience started with the very first episode of WWF SmackDown. So when it came to, like, who was the first wrestler to ever really catch my attention, it was Triple H. And he was at the time doing his DX, not him and Shawn Michaels, but him, X-Pac, the New Age Outlaws. And I'm like, I guess I have had a thing for heels since day one. There was something about, like, the way that they were, like, you know, I guess pun intended, a bunch of degenerates and stuff like that. I think at the time they may have been feuding with The Rock. I mean, it was like, God, it's a long time ago for me to, like, recall in my head. But it was, you know, it was all the underhanded things that they were doing and stuff like that. Yeah, Triple H for sure was one of the first that really caught my eye. Undertaker was another one that kind of, like, as I started going back, And you know, doing, you know, more like going back into the archives, because then I became obsessed and I'm like, I had to, you know, digest everything I could with wrestling, and just the art of like really creating these stories and, you know, like really like all the layers with, you know, his storylines with his brother Kane and things like that. Like it was those kinds of things that really drew me into wrestling. And I think that carried over even to how I watch now, where it is very much about the matches. I love watching great matches, but it's something about compelling storytelling that will grab me first every time.
And we mentioned talking about going back to the AEW part of it. And since you've obviously been watching since probably the beginning now, did you have any AEW moment that it just stands out to you and is your favorite moment or moments? It could be more than one if you want it to be, but did you have a favorite one that stood out to you?
Oh my gosh. They've had a lot. They definitely have had a lot. But I think the most rewarding thing as an AEW fan has been the story arc for Hangman Adam Page, because you're right, I have been watching like literally since day one of the inception of AEW, and I think that his story has been the richest, again going back to the storytelling and planting all those seeds about how he is a man who wrestles with anxiety and insecurities, and he's trying to establish himself amongst all of his very successful friends and trying to find his place. And I've always found his story to be very human and very relatable, and seeing him like finally get to that pinnacle and beating Kenny Omega for the, you know, for the heavyweight titles. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm such a nerd. But yeah, it was like when he finally beat Kenny for the title, I got very lost in the moment, and I was like very emotional, and I was like, oh my God, he finally did it. Like he finally overcame like all of those, you know, insecurities that he had and all those doubts and stuff like that. And it felt like a victory for everybody that ever felt like, you know, can I do this? Like, can I believe in myself enough to overcome all of those fears and doubts of myself? So that to me has been the most rewarding thing to see as a fan of AEW, to see that story finally come, you know, come into fruition in such a big way like that.
Yeah, I literally cried when that happens. I had to hold myself and just, I was shaking, getting goosebumps. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm like, as if I'm the one that just won a championship on a pay-per-view. But it's one of those things like, yeah, you've seen him from the beginning and grow in such a way that you're like, you can't wait for that conclusion when it happens. And it's just like, you never knew. I'm like, in AEW, you kind of know that will happen. So you kind of knew this was happening sooner or later. But even seeing the moment, it just doesn't take away, no matter how predictable it could have been, it doesn't take away from that moment and how incredible it was to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you get smart enough after a while that you think that there's a formula where you're like, okay, well, I think that this is the moment. You kind of feel like you can predict it. But nothing ever really prepares you, because you think like there's that reasonable doubt, like, well, what if they swerve us? Like, what if this isn't the moment? Like, you know, and I think, no, I was at a party that night and I was like, I'm going to miss part of Full Gear, but I don't care what I have to do. I will walk out of this party if it means that I get home in time for the main event, because there is not a single way that I'm going to miss seeing Hangman potentially take the title. It was that big of a deal to me.
Yeah. I wanted to head over now to the community questions we got from the tweet when I announced that you were going to be on here. So the first one I got is from Justin. He had two for you. The first one's like, what initially made you come out of your show and join the Elite POV?
Yeah, like I had kind of alluded to earlier, it was an opportunity that I had wanted for quite some time. And it was something that I really had to, you know, again, wrestle with those, you know, doubts about like, can I do this? Is this something that I'm capable of? And eventually just say, if you want something bad enough, you're going to make it happen. And you kind of have to get out of your own way and, you know, accept the opportunity when it's given to you and understand that sometimes it's, you know, as corny as it sounds, it's fate. And, you know, those chances don't always come. And if you say no, there's not a guarantee that that opportunity is going to come again. So it was just a matter of saying, you know, to hell with worrying about, you know, whether it's going to work out or not. The only way I'm going to find out is if I try. So that was, you know, trial by fire and just go for it.
Yeah. And for Justin's second question, he said, any advice for the people who want to get into podcasting?
Yeah. I would say you have to really know what you're trying to do with it. If you're just trying to have fun with it, by all means, go for it. Enjoy it, you know, and just have fun. If you're trying to build a brand, understand it is a lot of work. It is literally going to be like another full-time job. And you're only going to get out of it what you're willing to put into it. And there are going to be times where you're going to bust your butt and you might not see the rewards immediately. And it's going to be frustrating and it's going to be hard and it can take the wind out of your sails really quick. But if you really, really want it and you're really passionate about it, just keep fighting for it. But yeah, it's I learned really quick. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort, but you're only going to get out of it what you put into it. So that's my main advice.
This one next is from Maggie. I think it could be a tricky one based on one you mentioned earlier, but she said, what made you fall in love with FTR's tag team Magic? And what is your favorite match they had from WWE?
Oh man. I think part of it is that they don't have to do anything overly flashy to catch your attention. They're very much a team that focuses on the basics and the fundamentals. They spent a lot of their career being a heel tag team, so they are very unselfish. I feel like they always put their baby faces to shine. They never made it about them. And I think that that's why for a long time, people kind of slept on them because they always felt like, oh, they're not charismatic. They're kind of boring. They're this. And it's because they always took the attention off of themselves and put it on the faces because that's what you're supposed to do, you know, psychology wise. And just overall, like they're so talented in the ring. I really can't say enough. Like I could be here forever to like, you know, put them over for what they do out there. And as far as like their, like my personal favorite WWE match for them, it would be the NXT TakeOver Toronto 2 out of 3 falls, against DIY.
The next one I had is from Nathan. He said, what has been your favorite match to review since you started podcasting?
Oh, okay. there's been a lot, but surprisingly, it's not an AEW match. It is an FTR match, but it's not an AEW match. It's the FTR versus Briscoes, the Ring of Honor, Super Card of Honor match when they won the Ring of Honor tag team titles. Yeah, that match was easily my match of the year, may have been my match of the last 5 years. Incredible match. It was a very rewarding experience to be able to witness it. And I wish I could have been there live for it, but just, you know, talking about it, I got very emotional. It was a lot of fun to talk about it. And it was to the point where the guys literally backed away from their mics. They're like, we don't even need to talk about it. Just let Jackie go. She'll say everything that needs to be said and she'll say it better than we could say it. So yeah, that was a really great one to talk about.
This one, I thought it was pretty interesting because I never thought about it that way. But this one's from Allison. She said, do you have any makeup tips since you consistently kill it with your makeup? That's very true.
Oh, my God. Lots of practice and patience. Without getting a little too sappy or too personal, I will say that makeup came to me because of personal illness. I went through a period of time where I was dealing with a chronic condition and I got really tired of, you know, going to work every day and people telling me that I looked sick or I looked tired. And so makeup became a way for me to kind of, you know, shield myself from that and to kind of mask it. But then it also became a way for me to express myself and to have fun with it and to feel like I could be something that, you know, to kind of like get away from that feeling of being sick and tired all the time. So through that, I was able to practice every day and experiment with different, you know, lipstick colors, different, you know, eyeliners and things like that. And it just became a part of my identity and you know, the like little signatures for me. So yeah, lots of practice. And one other thing I will say is a lot of people get very stuck on this notion that it's like, oh, I can't wear this shade because of my skin tone or things like that. And I can't stand that. If you like a color, wear it. If it makes you feel good, wear it. Don't get so hot, you know, hopped up on what people say you can and can't wear because of your skin tone, your complexion, yada, yada, yada. If it makes you feel good, rock it, feel good about it. And yes, I'm all about that. Express yourself in whatever way makes you feel good. And whatever anybody else has to say about it, bye.
I had 4 questions from Georgia, but I wanted to pick the one that stood out the most to me because I didn't think about something like this for you. She said, what is your favorite entrance music of all time?
This one's like, oh my God, there's been so many good ones over the test of time. But 2 that stand out to me, and it's like, I grew up a big metalhead. I know a lot of people would find that kind of surprising because over time, I guess I've evolved. But Triple H's Motorhead theme, The Time to Play the Game, is like one that, like, every time that opening riff hits, it's just like, ooh, goosebumps go. And it's just like that gets me pumped. But one that I never understood why they stopped using it was, oh my God, I don't even know what they called it, but it was Stone Cold Steve Austin's Disturbed theme. I think it was Glass Shatters, but Disturbed did a remake of his theme music. And I think they used it primarily when he went full heel, back in, like, I don't know, like 2001, 2002. And it was the most badass theme music. And I'm like, why did they ever go back to the OG theme music after they had him with that one? It was, I think they even put it, was it on the Forcible Entry? I don't know. It was so damn good. And to this day, I'll go on YouTube and I'm like, I gotta find this song and I gotta listen to it, because it's like, if you want to get pumped, that was it. Disturbed is such a great band. And yeah, they killed it on Stone Cold's theme music.
Yeah, I never would have taken you for somebody that likes metal, but it's funny because I like alternative and punk rock music, and people don't think about that when they see me either. Yeah. So it's interesting to get that too.
Yeah, an honorable mention is Edge's Metalingus Alter Bridge theme. Oh man, I see, like, I really like a lot of these themes where it's like an actual, like, you know, rock band or artist, you know, lends their talents to the wrestler's theme music. But yeah, definitely grew up a big metalhead.
The next one is from who we call Dream Match Bobby. Bobby's a big supporter of wrestling, so he's always giving me questions whenever I post that I have an interview. So I had to include his. He said, who else is your favorite wrestler on AEW?
Okay, so I can try to narrow it down as best as I can. I could try. Kenny Omega, Eddie Kingston, Hangman Adam Page, Sunny Kiss, Thunder Rosa. Oh my God. I'm gonna try to, like, not, like, go on a, like, tangent and just, like, roll off with the humongous list. But as far as, like, you know, those, I'm gonna stick to those. Those are, like, my main ones that come to my head. But definitely, like, when I first started watching AEW, Kenny Omega was, like, the guy. He still is. I can't wait for him to come back. Mm-hmm.
Next one I have was from Carrie. She said, as a female voice in wrestling podcast, what legacy, so to speak, do you hope to leave and to help other female voices?
I mean, I hope that I, you know, get to a level where I'm leaving any kind of legacy. I mean, that would be great. Overall, I just want to be somebody that creates a space for other female podcasters, especially in wrestling media, to, you know, feel like they don't have to work so hard in order to, you know, to find a space here, that it can feel more welcoming, that they can feel like their presence is valued and respected, that we don't always have to just be seen as just a female voice, that we're not just filling a quota, that we're here because we are knowledgeable and we do love and feel passion for the product. And to, you know, just, you know, feel like our presence is valued here. And yeah, like I said, if I ever get to a point where I do get to a level where I leave some kind of legacy, it's that I was able to open the door for the next person to come in and have an easier journey than I did.
For my last community question comes from my co-host Ed from NXT. He said, what made you fall in love with wrestling to begin with?
I think it just goes back to it's the over-the-top theatrics of it. It's the best of all worlds. You have the athleticism that comes with it. It's, you know, some people like to equate it to a live-action soap opera, you know, because there is, you know, all types of drama. There's sometimes romance involved in it. It's just there is no other form of entertainment like it. You're not going to, like, when people try to that are trying to get into it, ask me, like, well, what is it like? There's nothing to compare it to. It's just its own entity. It's so rich in many different layers of entertainment. I can't really describe it. It's a lot of fun. And I think that from the very beginning, because I hated on it, you know, my cousins were into it. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. And then when I finally sat in front of the TV and I'm like, oh my God, like it took like not even a half an hour for me to be completely sucked into it, because it just really is that compelling. And so from all of the storytelling and that aspect of it to the phenomenal talents of the people that are in the ring, it's just, there's nothing like professional wrestling.
Yeah. And before I let you go, I want to know where everybody can find you and maybe the schedule that you guys have for Elite POV so that people can check you out whenever you go live as well.
Sure. So my personal socials, you can find me on Twitter at LoveYouMake24. You can find me on Instagram at JaxTheDrawPOV. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and on Instagram at ElitePOV. We are live on Twitch every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/ElitePOV. We're also on Patreon at patreon.com/ElitePOV if you'd like to support us that way. We're having a lot of fun, you know, with Elite POV and podcasting and talking about AEW. And it's been a blast. But thank you so much for having me, though. This has been a lot of fun talking about wrestling. I think this is literally my first interview I've ever done where I had to talk about myself. So thank you for helping me break the ice.
Yes. No, thank you for being here. Even I didn't think you were going to want to do the interview to begin with. I was thinking she's probably too shy thinking about, I'm going to interview her like me, like, because that happens to me too. And I feel that type of way. I'm just like, yeah, I shouldn't be in this part of it. And you, like I told you before, you're one of those people that I thought about from the beginning that I wanted to get to know better. And I thought this was a good opportunity for not only the Love Wrestling community to get to know you, but your community and the wrestling community as a whole. So I really want to thank you for being on here and, you know, for being who you are, because I love your Twitter account, like how positive you are when it comes to anything wrestling and
thank
how
you
and your beliefs and everything. So it's nice to get to see you in this aspect of it now. But yeah, I appreciate you coming on. As she said, you know, follow the Elite POV on those socials and follow her too, because she's incredible what she's doing. And I know she's one of those people that you want to follow her whenever she does anything. So make sure you follow them and check them out. So yeah, this is it for episode 6. As you all know, you'll see more about the next one. It'll be coming up hopefully sometime soon. I'll be filming it next week with somebody really special for me as well, aside from Jackie, that I had in mind for a while now. So I'm really, really excited to do that. But yeah, well, we'll see you next time.
Bye.